Okay, once again, would you please take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. By the way, when it comes to what is going to be taking place toward the end of the month, I've got a retired pastor friend of mine, Art Miracle. He's going to be here on that Sunday, the 28th. And I had been talking to Pastor Lutz over here at Calvary Baptist in Rio Linda, and he was hoping to have a little bit of a marriage seminar at his church, and he asked me if I would do it. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I've got a guy coming. He can do that, and Pastor Leva in the Spanish ministry had mentioned the same thing. So we've got a couple of details we'll be adding on to it, but on that Saturday, 5 p.m., if you're married or you anticipate getting married, I would greatly encourage you to come. It's going to be the same thing with Pastor Lutz and Pastor Leva, the people that can speak English, and most of them can, in his Spanish ministry. They're going to be here. I'm looking forward to that. I want to mention a couple of things before I get into this message. I want to emphasize from the beginning this. And again, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Okay? God's word needs to become far more important to God's people. I hope by the end of this message you'll understand that. I know we've got a little bit of a distraction going on, and quite honestly, I don't like it, because this is important. But it is what it is. Secondly, our answers to a lost world do not lie in our clever responses. They lie in God's proclamations. So with that, once again, I would like to ask the Lord to open our hearts and our eyes. And I want you to pray that whatever it is that God has for you in this message, that you'll hear it, because it's that important. Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that the wicked one does not want your word preached. And as we will see, he is clever and he is active. Lord, we have a victory that has been given to us by what we have in Christ Jesus. We can claim this victory. It is not of us. It is of you. But we need to recognize the wiles or the schemes of the devil. So Lord, help us to hear. I pray that this will make the difference in others' lives as it has in mine, for your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so it's been a while. Been away. Looked at a couple of other messages. When it comes to what we're doing now, this Sunday, and Lord willing, the next two Sundays, we're going to be completing the armor of God, this study on the armor of God. Let's go ahead and go back and see what we've seen so far. Look at Ephesians 6, verse 11. Paul tells the church at Ephesus, and us as well, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to, what's the word? What? Stand. You can stand. You don't have to be defeated. If we're defeated, we haven't been listening. I know it's been that way in my life. I think you would see the same. Stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Folks, this world is not our home, and it is showing itself to be that as the days go by. We're going to be leaving this world someday, and boy, do I rejoice in that. But I want to take as many people as we can with us, and when we make that exit, I want to be rejoicing in the victories that we were able to see in Christ. Again, at the end of verse 12, against spiritual wickedness in high places, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, every bit of it, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to, again, what's the word? Stand. So, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Okay, so quickly, like we have learned, to stand means to hold a critical position during a time of enemy attack. Listen, the Lord, through His shed blood, has purchased for us a great victory. And we have a place that we stand in Him. Satan doesn't want us to stand. But by God's grace, we can stand. We have His truth. We have His salvation. We have all things that we need. His blessing. Now, in this aspect, it's in a defensive position. In other words, here comes our enemy. He's fighting. We can take what we've got. And we can see him defeated. What he can't take, though, please understand this. What he cannot take from us, he will do everything in his power to nullify. Now, please catch this. When we're talking about nullifying, we are talking about impact on lives that never end. Every person that has ever been on this earth, every person that is on this earth right now is going to live somewhere forever. Every person has that choice. If the person has chosen Christ, they also have a choice. Am I going to live defeated? Or am I going to live in the victory that was purchased by the blood of Christ? Now, that's a question every one of us with our Bibles open and we're listening, we've got to answer. I've seen enough and I've experienced it personally. I've seen enough of defeat. I am tired of seeing God's people who have all of God's resources surrendering to the wiles of the wicked one, the schemes of the devil and his lies. We start that in Genesis 3 and we go through the scripture and see it time and again, but it does not have to be. So, if we would see victory, if we would have it, we need to stand. If we're going to stand, we need the belt of truth, the truth that is found in God's Word. We need the breastplate of righteousness, which bottom line, as we saw, is a holy life lived by the truth that makes up the belt. And then the boots of peace, speaking about our foundation in Christ, the salvation that we have. We can stand. Those shoes are made to stand in. The next piece of armor is the shield of faith. Now, I want you to go again to verse 16. Read it again. Tell me what you find different. And I'm not trying to play a gotcha game. But tell me what you find different when it comes to this verse. Look at it. This is the only verse, listen, this is the only verse when it comes to the armor of God, it's the only verse that tells us why. It's the only verse that tells us why we ought to do it. He says, again, look at this. Above all, taking up the shield of faith. That word take up means you snatch it up. You've got the other armor on. We've already looked at those three. But he says, listen, now, you reach out. You take this up. You take the shield of faith. There's a reason. Why? Whereby ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You see the phrase above all. It means in addition to all. You have the pieces of armor already that he's mentioned. But Paul is saying, you're not done yet. There's three more to go. And this one is the first of those three. Now, when he says, take up the shield of faith, he's not talking about taking up the shield of all the doctrines. That's not what it's speaking of here. It's speaking of simple faith in Christ. That's all it's speaking about here. Simple trust that saves us and makes us part of the body of Christ. The Lord goes into His mode of growing us, drawing us closer. Now, there are things that we learn, obviously. But this faith that we are to take up is the understanding that I belong to the person of Jesus Christ. And He will never leave me nor forsake me. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. He says, ye shall be able, not ye may be able, or give it your best shot. Listen to me. But ye shall be able. You can do it. Ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Literally, of the wicked one or the evil one. Are you with me still? If your heart and mind is going over to the kitchen, you might as well just go over there now. You're not going to listen to what I got to say, but you need to hear it. Amen. You need to hear it. 1 Peter 5 says this, be sober, be serious-minded, be vigilant. We can be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know what saddens me? Is older Christians that think they've already beat the game. It's not a game. Older Christians or mature Christians that think, oh, you know something, I know so much. Yeah, I do too. And you know something? Satan can still put the whoop on us. As we'll see. Whom resist, he says, steadfast in the faith. in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. It overcomes the world, this faith. We take up the shield and we defend ourselves by, again, holding it up, as we'll see. John tells us, 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It can't be clearer. I want us to see, first of all, the picture. The picture. Why is Paul talking about this? He's been given instruction by the Holy Spirit. He's taking what he sees in this specific instance when it comes to soldiers, and he's realizing, boy, there is a real picture of what God's people go through. There were two shields that Roman soldiers would use. One had dual straps on it, and it would be strapped to the arm, to the forearm. And what they would do, they would use that to help defend against sword attack as they're coming with their sword. That's not the shield that's being mentioned here. It comes from the Greek word theros, which literally means door. So it is a door-shaped shield. They were basically 4.5 feet tall, 2.5 feet wide. They would have on the front one of two things. They were wooden. They were curved some. On the front, there would either be metal or there would be heavy leather that was placed there. At the siege of a battle called Dyrrhachium, there was one soldier that counted 220 arrows in his shield. Now listen, that's a lot. Let me tell you something. That's nothing compared to what Satan can do. You can get 220 arrows in your shield in one day, I'll guarantee you. The draw of the wicked one is that bad. The enticements are that bad. We need to understand, when a Roman soldier would face the enemy, and maybe you've seen pictures like this, they would come sometimes, I mean, already locked, shield to shield. They had it to where these things would lock, and they would be marching on. There would be soldiers that were behind them that they would be coming with their shields up. They would sometimes come in a line up to a mile. They would come in, come down, go behind the shields. The soldier behind them would come in and they would lock and they would take that shield and have it angled and come down on the shield of the soldier in front of them. Again, locked side by side. It was impenetrable. They couldn't get to it. They couldn't get to these soldiers. That's how much these soldiers depended on their shield. The shield that they took up. So with that in mind, the picture, let's think about the purpose. What is the purpose? Again, we're not talking about a physical shield. We're talking about a shield of faith, of simple trusting God. Now listen, we can't save ourselves. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So that means this shield of faith is incredibly important. In Hebrews 11, we're told, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, we all live by faith. I mean, face it, we all do. You know, that bridge went down in Baltimore, and it was panic in River City. Look what happened. Why? Because bridges aren't supposed to do that. Do you realize how much faith you exercised on your way to church today? You got on the road. Yeah, you had faith in the vehicle. You started the car. But without even hardly giving it a second thought, as you're driving down the road, you are exercising faith in people that are coming right at you just simply on the other side of that yellow line. We do it every day. I learned that you can have incredible faith in traffic in India, and there are no lines. But everybody's got a horn. And somehow, those cars make it there. I think it has to do with a whole lot of prayer of Americans that are sitting there, Lord, help us. But the point is, isn't it something? We can exercise faith, but when it comes to speaking of it directly with faith in God, all of a sudden it's like, well, I don't know about this. You better. Because this world is not your home. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, not only do you have the answer, but you've got a target. And it's the wiles of the devil. Now listen to me. This is important. Faith is only as good as its object. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God is important to God's people. It's important to obey it. Because if we don't do that, guess what? We've opened up the armor. The shield of faith has slipped. There's something inside of us that is now doubting God. Are you listening? This is important, folks. This is far more important than so many Christians take it. Again, as we're going to see, the protection. In ancient times, the enemy, okay, you've got your shield. The enemy would take their arrow, they would wrap cloth around it, and they would soak it in pitch. Just before they shot it, they would light it, shoot, pew. That shield needed to be working. Now, this is why so often the soldiers, they would take their shields that had the leather in the front and they would soak them in water first so that when those arrows hit, snuffed out. Or if they were metal, they would bounce off and they would just burn off by themselves off to one side. But if the arrow hit the target and the person wasn't prepared, the body could be pierced, or at the very least, there could be fire, and it's not going to be good. Now listen, every day, Satan doesn't tire. The arrows come. Arrows of doubt, arrows of temptation, arrows of emotion like anger, etc., arrows of unbelief, arrows of apathy, they all come. Those fiery darts are going. Satan doesn't tire. And he's got his minions. They don't either. You know, the sad thing is, we're all good at justifying sin. If we're not careful, we can do it. I've done it. You probably have too. Unless, like Dave Bushy used to say, you know, y'all are visiting from heaven. In the end, it comes down to this. When we have this sin, as a Christian, well, we get to thinking, well, we got to do something with this. I can either just simply try to forget it, bury it, whatever. Or I can justify it. I can make excuses. Then the scripture comes along. Like in 1 Thessalonians 4, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. While we're justifying sin or trying to do whatever, the Lord comes along and says, listen, I have set you apart. I've set you apart from a world that is up to here in sin. That ye shall abstain from, in this case, fornication. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God. If we're going to make excuses, and it's like, look, it's my business, preacher. I've got news for you. It's God's business. Why? Because you're bought with a price. Is everybody listening? You're bought with a price. As we believe God's word, the shield flies up. As we believe what he's saying, that shield comes up. We recognize again that Satan desires to defeat us. But he doesn't have to. Sin is always rooted in doubt. It's rooted in the doubt of God's goodness. I can't wait on God. I need something, and he's not helping, so I need something more. Or it's rooted in doubt of God's character. I need something more. It's rooted in doubt of God's word. I need something more than the Bible. Oh, but I wouldn't fall for that. Do you know there's a program going on right now that over 200 million people have seen worldwide? Now, if there's anybody in here that this fits, I'm not attacking you, but I do want you to listen carefully. The program is called The Chosen. Somebody put together a synopsis of this situation with this and made some very good points. Now, again, God's people get excited about things when it comes to, you know, they're talking about Jesus Christ. It's got to be good. No, wait a minute. The Chosen series was initiated and inspired from a partnership between Dallas Jenkins, an evangelical filmmaker, and three Mormon businessmen. It happened after these three businessmen saw a video that Dallas Jenkins had put together called The Shepherd. The Mormons stepped in, and the influence from them grew tremendously. The executive producer is a Mormon. The distributor is a Mormon. Episodes were shot at a Mormon set in Utah, not all of them, but some of them, the crowdfunding, the media, all done by Mormons. The Chosen's director, again, Dallas Jenkins, has gone on record stating this. The Mormon Jesus is the same Jesus in the Bible. We got a big problem. Because according to the Mormons, Jesus is Lucifer's half-brother. Jesus is a spirit child conceived through physical means between an exalted man, who is the Heavenly Father, and the Virgin Mary. Jesus is not eternal. He had a beginning. Therefore, he's not part of the Trinity. Jesus was not always God, but earned his way to Godhood, just as we will become gods someday. You know, like Satan said, I will be like the Most High. Dallas Jenkins told this, one interviewer this, 95% of the content of that program, The Chosen, isn't from the Bible. Now, how many of you are good at math? If only 5% is found in the Bible, how much is found outside of the Bible? That means The Chosen is almost completely man's words. For instance, Mary Magdalene backsliding. That's not found in the Bible. Matthew is portrayed as autistic. That's not in the Bible. Jesus rehearsing the Sermon on the Mount. Excuse me? My God does not need to rehearse. Now, what was I going to say? That's not what he does. The Apostle Peter had a gambling debt. That's why he had to fish on the Sabbath. Somebody please give me book, chapter, and verse. Now, the thing is, there's a lot more to it. But you've got millions that are getting all excited because Jesus is being preached. No, he's not. A false Jesus is being preached. My Jesus, your Jesus, that saves, was not brought into the world, but like that. Our Jesus is not still on a cross. He's risen. That cross is empty. But in some places, it's not. Well, does that really matter? Yes, it does. Because it's the Jesus of the Bible that saves. This is what we've got to understand. Remember what we've gone through so much? What was it when Satan came to Eve? Yea, hath God said. And she fell for the simple mantra that the wicked one has been using time and time again. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of God. It's of the world. But the answer Jesus brought us. Remember Matthew 4? It is written. That's why the Bible is so important. Our answer, it is written. Proverbs 30, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Proverbs 30, verse 5, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of God is tried. He is a buckler, a shield. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. Psalm 18, verse, communist officials, officers, And they wanted to know, are you going to join the Communist Youth Organization? This young man is only 15 years old, but he is a dedicated Christian. He loves the Lord, and here he is. He said, you know, his stomach was in knots. He's there. They're asking him, are you going to join this? And oh, by the way, are you going to join the Communist Army? At first, he didn't know what to do. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians chapter 2. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. This is important. He sat there in front of these men, five of them, and he's 15 years old. Again, he said, man, I was in the tightest situation I've ever been in. I didn't know what to do. And he starts praying, and suddenly God gave him a verse. Look at Colossians 2, verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You know what he did? God gave him that verse. He quoted it. He quoted it to those men. You know what happened? They didn't know what to do with him. The interview was stopped. They weren't sure how to come back. They told him to leave. All he did was quote what God had told him. He told his friends about it. They took courage. They did the same thing. In other words, the key is God's Word. I want you to take your bulletin. I want you to open it up. In that bulletin are two quarter sheets. I want you to do this. Do you remember that I told you that 25 years ago, I was in a world of hurt. And I went to see a dear friend of mine, a pastoral counselor. And that Monday morning, I'll never forget it, he asked me, Mike, in your heart of hearts, do you believe God loves you? And without hesitation, I said, no. I'm the pastor of this church. I preach John 3:16. I believe God so loved the world, I just don't believe God loves me. You know, you can get like that. When the prayer closet starts hurting, and you're trying to do things in the flesh, next thing you know, you're in a world of hurt. That was Monday morning. Wednesday afternoon, he and I were talking. In his office, I can't even remember what we were talking about. And all of a sudden, I exploded out of the chair. And I started laughing. I said, I can't believe it. I'm the classic double-minded man. He started laughing. He says, when did the Lord show you that? I said, just now. He said, go back to your room. Bernie was there with me as well. He said, go back to your room and write down other lies of the devil you've believed. I wrote down 12. And this is what I did. You write down the lie, and then you write down the scripture that refutes the lie. I have worked on that for years. I've gone over it. It has been a joy. I rejoice. By the way, I can sing with a full heart, Jesus loves me, this I know. But I want to ask you, what is your challenge? What's your temptation? Where is it that you struggle? What is it that you're worried about if somebody challenges you about your faith? I gave you these two things just to help you get a start. You need to write down, this is my challenge. Fear of man, lust of the flesh, anger, apathy, unbelief. You write down whatever it is, and you keep writing it down. And then you get the scripture, and you learn how God answers. And you know what you'll find out? All of a sudden, wow! There's that shield of faith. So that when Satan comes crawling out from under his rock again and tries to toss at you a flaming dart, pew! It's gone. Do it. You know why? Because this world is not our home. And it's only going to get worse. And already we have God's people that are being challenged when it comes to why they believe what they believe. And are you willing to pay a price for that? I'm telling you, it was fascinating. And a little bit, it got me a little bit angry. Going in and coming out of India. They didn't ask me anything. They picked on her. Now, I didn't want to have us not be able to go in. And I didn't want to get set aside and say, okay, you've got to go to a room and you've got to tell us everything that you've done. She did good enough with it. Praise God. But do you trust the current administration in this nation or in this state? No. Do you think they are friends of the gospel? No. No. Now, are you saying, well, you know, preacher, what are you hating these people? No. There's something that you learn in the Christian walk. You can't hate people that you pray for. You can't do it. You can't do it. I mean, even the Lord said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And quite honestly, they don't know. They don't know. They're blinded. We're not. It's the entrance of thy word that gives light. I encourage you, I challenge you. It's easy to do. We've got simple Bible program on CDs. You can load that up on your computer. You can download it from online. You can go online. You can go to these places and put in certain things and find, okay, where is it that the Bible addresses this and this and this and this? And then you get that down. And you meditate on it. You make it part of your devotions every single day. And you learn, this is my answer. You know why? Because the devil doesn't quit. And in these last of the last days, he's busy. I mean, we've got people saying absolutely the most foolish things on television, in the news. I mean, it is beyond comprehension. Well, guess who's throwing his darts? Guess who has the answers? So we need to grow that shield of faith. Amen.